I'm Sean from Voices of Defiance, a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, pets and creatures of every make and model, fans of entertainment and shenanigans alike, welcome back to Legends Podcast or Op Farts in a Corner. I'm Beef.
I'm Wing.
I'm the operator farting.
And I'm Neil, not farting.
But you're downwind, I'm sure. We are talking about Lethal Weapon, as Wing would call it. Lethal Weapon.
It's not Lethal Weapon?
I was fucking kidding, but you really did it.
Oh, this is a fun 80s movie. Seriously, in the classic action.
Is it 80s or 90s?
80s.
That 80s.
Yeah, 87.
80s.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Richard Donner in his post-Superman depression. Where it was let's go action.
I don't know. I'll just start right off the bat. This movie was awesome, again, to rewatch, but it seemed, my phone is dying, it seemed cliche and played out just because all the little beats have been done now. Almost exactly in other shit, whether it's parodies or jokes or other action flicks, it's like, or maybe I've seen it so much, I don't know.
The only beat that was missing was having another partner die before he meets Riggs. If he had another partner die before he meets Riggs, that it would have been just that. It would have been like every beat possible would have been in there.
Now, were they building on other 80s tropes at this point because it was so late in the 80s? Or were they establishing new ones and that's why it's so familiar for us?
They're establishing new ones that are going to go through all the 90s.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, even if they're building on some of the old ones, it's... they're just solidifying it. And it was still good. It was still a lot of fun, but it's, okay, what do we got? The long flowing hair with the, hey, you karate guy, action guy from him, Mel Gibson, Patrick Swayze. Who else do we have from mid 80s to like 94?
Oh, God. That's actually. Yeah.
When did Steven Seagal grow his hair out?
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Start of the 90s?
Yeah,
start of the 90s.
But I mean, that is.
Oh, Chuck! Right, Chuck Norris had the man fro.
That is true. He did do. He had been doing missing in action though.
Delta Force.
Yep.
Delta Force is what I remember. He never really did the party up front or business up front, party in the rear type mullet.
True. But. He didn't do full on mullet, but he was pretty damn close.
In gorgeous locks.
You could tell this was a movie set squarely in the 80s because they fucking open with people doing blow and a sleazy saxophone. I honestly thought it was a goddamn porno.
I wrote the same thing.
Porno, it did feel like it.
Porno music.
Seriously, in the first 4 minutes, they're like, you're like, whoa, what's going on?
And the gratuitous breast shots. It screams 80s.
Yep, you're right.
Yeah, the gratuitous boob shot. With the blow, jumping from the, 20th floor, I was like...
In slow motion.
In slow motion.
With a saxophone in the background.
Here you go.
Yep.
Can you be more Hades than that?
Hades? No, they didn't have a fucking hurricane or earthquake, dude. It's a decade. It's the 80s.
The 80s?
But we'll throw an H on there and call it the Hades, okay?
Don't be hating.
He takes them where they shouldn't be and puts them other places.
It was the hair, the sax, the blow, and then it was the big cell phones and the fact that everybody was actually still smoking.
Wait. Yeah. The big cell phones? This is the first movie to feature a cell phone.
Really?
Yes. Well, we'll check the trivia on the internet after because I was curious about that. It's the first movie to feature a cell phone. And you understand why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's a monster. Yes.
But they're the brick. They're the bag phone that people had. It wasn't the
briefcase.
Actual,
yeah.
Right. It wasn't the actual portable phone. The brick. Did they have the brick in this? I don't remember.
No, I don't think they had the brick.
It's a car battery.
Yeah, yeah.
With a phone on it.
Yeah.
It's pretty epic.
And Gary Busey, before he goes cray.
Or he was always cray.
Maybe he was always cray, but he really downplayed it here. But
the old lighter to the Merc's arm trick.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of classic.
Joshua,
it's Joshua, you can stop now.
But they're so James Bond. I mean, he's, you know, in From Russia with Love, the henchman, I don't remember the name, unfortunately, the guy with the blonde hair, that's Gary Busey. That's the same kind of guy. And you have
you have like three of those guys in Die Hard. And I mean,
yeah, it's all the same trope again.
Yep.
So,
well, that built on the 80s, you know, in the Christmas tree drug deal. They were just generic 80s thugs. And, you know,
oh yeah, 1-800 henchmen for sure. Yeah,
exactly. Mm-hmm.
I like the Three Stooges move with those same thugs. That's a real badge. I'm a real cop, and this is a real gun. It's like, oh my God, could you fucking shake your hair a little bit more and say that lovingly? Oh, and the movie kiosk in the very beginning. The Lost Boys, this year's hit. I wonder if the same companies produced the two movies.
Well, probably.
A little bit.
But Mel Gibson in this. Mel Gibson in the good old days, where he was just an action hero and not...
Before we found out he was anti-Semitic like a motherfucker.
Yeah, before we found out he was Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
My first Mel Gibson note on my notes for this was, fuck me, Mel is young.
Yes.
Yeah, he is kind of a kid. It's like going back to watch the first Mad Max movie. He looks 12.
Oh my God, the first Mad Max, he looks horribly young.
Yeah, he looks 12 in that thing.
Was this the first cinematic recreation of beatboxing ever? With the family sitting around the fucking table trying to hammer out some sort of...
I don't know.
I don't know, but that's a very distinct possibility.
87, 86 probably when it was filmed. I'll put my money on it.
But that's something this movie has built really well, is the family relationship with these characters. Because next week we're going to talk about the second one, and we're not going to go farther for now. But the family relationship takes over these movies to a point where they forget that there is a crime story in the background.
Yeah.
By the fourth movie, it's a soap opera.
Thank God we're not recording that one.
Yeah.
Well, I think if we're talking about the writer, and if this is kind of the focus, they really used the family to establish the difference in the life between the two characters. And I think they keep coming back to the paradox between these two guys are partners, but look at the fundamental differences in how stable their family is.
I don't like how instantly, just because one has a family, he's fundamentally more stable. I understand Mel Gibson or Riggs or whoever has a more muddy background, but they do a nice job of pointing out the differences, but it just feels a little squirrely that, hey, he's got a family, he doesn't. So that's...
I think that is a aspect of the relationship between the two of them, but they really, more than anything else, played up the fact that Mel Gibson or Riggs was just fucked up and crazy.
Oh, is this
even before they had established the family relationship with Marta? It was, I mean, when he first met Marta, he almost killed him.
But that was the first cut, though.
Yeah,
the first cut was between the was Mel putting the gun in his mouth, cutting from the family scene. They smack you in the face. It's not a subtle difference. there's nothing nuanced.
Marta's got a nice suburban home, and Riggs has got a freaking van down by the ocean.
Trailer by the ocean. Yeah. With a dog. The dog is nice.
Yeah. Cool
gargling,
dog.
Gargling scotch in the morning. It's yummy.
Watching
yummy
cartoons.
Don't you do that? Or is that not normal?
About to put a bullet in his mouth via a gun.
That's the scene in this movie, though.
It is disturbing because it feels very real. You genuinely feel like he is. That scene and the scene in just after he gets the guy off the roof.
Yes.
That moment where he has the gun up under his neck. And that moment, you actually see his pupils kind of dilate a little bit. He was about to go. and Martel stopped him. And that, to me, I think that was almost more disturbing than the trailer scene, because it was like, not only is he going to do it, he's going to do it in front of this dude because reasons.
Well, exactly the same thing with the Christmas tree scene. He when he's like, shoot me yeah. now.
Yeah.
That bike.
Yeah, but I think at that point he was a little bit of a loose cannon still, because he didn't have a good partner and he was just kind of out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I had thought, and it went away.
Okay.
The guy on the roof, man, that still cracks me up. That still cracks me up. It puts the handcuffs on. Okay, yeah, you want to jump? Let's jump. Let's go. Let's go. You want to go right now? You're crazy. Let's go. Let's jump right now.
And then when they jump, they hold hands because there's no cuffs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
Film Club number 112.
Well, in those days, that was cool.
Yeah.
By the third movie, they blow up building in the first act.
That is true.
Yeah. Yeah. And this movie is written by the guy who wrote and directed Iron Man 3, so not bad. He forgot the violence in Iron Man, but I guess Marvel was like...
Yeah. Well, he toned it down. He made it comic book violence, so...
But when we were talking about relationship during that movie, we were saying, like, it feels a little bit Shane Black, but, well, that's a little bit the same kind of relationship that they're establishing with these characters, but 20 years before, 20, 30 years? Oh, dear God. Long time ago.
Yeah.
Let's 25. See. Solid 25.
Solid 12. Okay, let's go for let's a go solid that, 25.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, no, you go 87 plus 10 plus 10 plus 5. Well, that's, yeah, you're close enough. You had a few more years, and that's where we're at.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Okay. Okay.
And I could never decide whether Mel was just chewing the scenery with his psycho scenes or whether it was actually believable. And I think at the end of it, I came out with believable.
Yeah, it's when they're torturing him with the electric rod.
Ha! That's the other trope. The fucking electricity and the whatnot and the car batteries and the torture
they
scene
did
from
do
the
that
80s and 90s. Ah,
they
grab some car batteries and some jumper cables. Maybe a sponge. We'll zap this
And
dude.
Didn't they almost always use the same Asian dude to do it?
Oh, my God. That Asian dude made a fucking killing.
He was in all the movies. He was always the thug in all the movies. He was always the henchman that tortured people.
He was from John Carpenter's movie, I think.
I think so, too. Yeah.
I think he was in all the Seagal movies, too.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. Yeah, every freaking movie from then. We need a guy that can occasionally do some kung fu, and he can be an evil-looking henchman.
Yeah, he can be an evil-looking henchman that'll help torture people.
It's the whole reason What's-His-Face Machete got a fucking continuing gig.
Yeah.
A guy that looks tough and possibly thuggish with tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
And probably Gary Busey.
Gary Busey.
We need a guy with crazy horse teeth who's nuts and fucking bleach blonde albino hair.
Yeah.
Oh, the 80s.
How did Martha's daughter hook up with him? That makes no sense to me.
I was thinking about that at the end. I think she's older than she's supposed to be, even though she's young. And I think Riggs is supposed to be way fucking younger than he appears on screen.
He's supposed to be like, what, 28, 29?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where'd you read that?
Although, wait a minute. He was in Nom.
No, he was in Nom.
So he has said, to be
he,
in his...
He actually said too. In Saigon in 67 he was serving. So then he was like at a minimum 19.
He was born in 60-ish, 58.
No, he would have to be 19 because that's 67. The average age in Vietnam. This movie took place in at the latest 87. So he was in his 40s.
Yeah, late that makes
30s, early 40s.
That makes sense because 15 years later they make a movie where he's 55. So yeah, okay.
Yeah.
He didn't hooked up with her, though, did he?
That's what they implied.
But God damn it,
character. Yeah. Oh, gorgeous. Was always gorgeous.
Yeah.
And I'm flash-forwarding to the second movie, which we're going to talk about next week, because it's awesome.
No.
But she was always attractive. Never. I don't think she did anything else beyond this.
Pay me, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'd be okay with that. Give me my three movies or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I made my money. Peace.
Yeah, and a lot of people kept coming back to this series because of Richard Donner. He seems to create a family environment around his movies. People love working with him.
Mm.
Except when everybody hates each other on Superman. But that's understandable.
Just angry Superman. Look at you.
Angry Superman.
Yeah, Superman.
I want more Superman.
Anybody got any more notes for the what's the name here?
The fight at the end.
Yes.
The end.
Oh my God.
Which is another trope. Karate fight between the good guy and the bad guy in the rain.
Keep everyone back. Come on, let me take him. Let me take him. Please.
No. Let him fight it out. Let him fight it out.
Please.
For no reason whatsoever.
Okay. 15 cops around them. No, nobody shoot. Let him fight it out.
They stagger into the group of cops. They separate. And I'm almost like, and this is where 15 cops put the boots to the bad guy.
Yes.
Nope, they just stand back.
Yeah, they're just waiting. Well, in the other tropes, when they actually kidnap the daughter, they go in the middle of the desert to do the exchange. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, an helicopter in the middle of the desert, that's subtle.
Of course, you know.
Oh,
that's
God, yeah, totally subtle.
With the white limo, yeah.
Yes, with the white limo.
May as well have doves flying out in slow motion.
Surprised they didn't.
Well, maybe it's coming. No, John Woo was not big thing.
Yeah, that's true. If it was John Woo, then doves would be flying out, man. I'm telling you.
That's what John Woo does.
It's true.
That's it.
And two guns.
Turned sideways.
In slow-mo.
Have you guys done Face Off yet?
No.
No, we need to.
Not yet. We should.
We'll add it to the list for you. I'm good with that. Yeah,
Face Off. And John Woo, you choose Face Off. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
What else is there better and
Mission Impossible 2.
Mission Impossible 2
is good.
Yeah. That's why I said better and shittier at the same time. All right, goddammit, let's wrap this cast up.
Well, hang on. Okay, the gun range scene. Yeah.
And what?
Oh, God. That was hilarious, dude. The gun range scene where you know, Martel takes out the gun and he's like, yeah, I did pretty good. Oh, and just with one hand, Rick's just like, bam, 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 bam. And he just...
Wing, tell the crowd. Is that not how I am?
What? You do not do a smiley face on your gun.
No, not a smiley face.
I was about to say.
With my conceal and carry, I aim just headshots. The other pistol, I aim for the chest. But if I'm going to put someone down, you might as well aim for the head.
I just aim.
What is wrong with you?
Listen, if there's a reason for me to draw my pistol, I am putting you down. At least then there's no defendant in court.
Have you watched, like, a lot of TV this week? A lot of Justify, maybe?
Serious, dude?
No.
One Lethal Weapon movie he's talking about. You know, I'm going to put one in his dome.
Next week, The Muppets.
Yes.
It's a good thing I won't be recording that.
My Little Pony.
No, you will. You already talked about that. You will be here next week.
I will be not here if it's Muppets or My Little Pony. God damn it. I'm going to go shooting and eat some meat.
The final comment is, in the first time we get the I'm getting too old for that shit, that established that trope not only in the rest of these movies going forward, but I think in popular culture.
I will say for the rest of these movies going forward, God damn it, just fucking retire already. Shit.
He does whine a lot, but as soon as he said it, I was slightly annoyed right away, but it did feel like home because that is... Fuck, he
that
says
is what
half
he said,
dozen
but
times
it's like,
in all the movies. Alone.
He was literally retiring from this first movie.
Yeah, and
this movie he was setting up to leave. He was done.
Oh, but he's got a new crazy partner now. He's got to look after.
And it was his last case. After this, he was going the only reason he took the case was because he knew the guy.
But now he's got to look after his new crazy partner.
Oh my God.
I'm just, it's just Hollywood, you know what I'm saying?
God. Just for fun, could you see them rebooting that?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, God.
Because they'll reboot anything.
Don't.
I can see them doing
it.
I'm not saying they should. I'm not saying they should.
But I'm saying, still saying yes. Don't. Don't even speak its name.
Do it.
Or Beelzebub will come back.
It will come out in the theaters the same year as the Big Trouble in Little China reboot.
I fucking hate
you. Ouch.
I really hate you right now, dude. I don't think I could have more disdain for you. I don't ever want to see that movie reboot.
Damn. Well, come on, man. He'll have The Rock.
Shut up, I hate you. Last words.
Last words. Can we rate the movie? Yeah.
Oh, fuck. He wants out so bad right now.
Oh my. I just don't want you to talk about The Rock and Big Trouble in Little China, please.
Okay, then for Little Weapon, are you going Legendary, Legends of Its Time, Cult Legend, Awesome, Entertaining, Mabel, Forgettable, Abysmal, or Spring Breakers? Beef.
I have to go.
Yeah, we know.
I gotta go. I'll give it a solid awesome. It is awesome, entertaining. I don't know. I'll go awesome. It's got a lot of nostalgia from my childhood, but it is just a cheesy, fun action Richard Donner comedy type movie. I had fun with it. The Riggs and Murtaugh dynamic is a lot of fun, but. You know, is one inherently better than the other just because he has a family? No, the other one's just fucking crazy. But that's okay, because boing. So, yeah. Solid awesome with a nostalgic.
Neil?
Steve, why'd you have to do that?
I'm sorry.
I was
don't base it on mine, man.
No.
God, please
you made good points.
Don't.
No. Okay, I got it in my notes here. I'm going to go Cult Legend, and it's because of this. If a movie deposits iconic moments into popular culture that are still around today, I think it's had more than just an entertaining or an awesome impact on film culture. And when you see items like "I'm getting too old for that shit," or you know, jumping off the building together. Or the you know, establishing Gary Busey as the crazy Merc guy and establishing, you know, beyond Mad Max, Mel Gibson's career moving forward. And let's face it, Lethal Weapon had more broad appeal than Mad Max did and really established Mel Gibson as an action star in the 80s and 90s. I think it goes beyond just entertaining. We have to recognize it for what it is, and that's probably cult legend status. So cult legend.
Well, fuck you and your cohesive thoughts, but you're not wrong.
Operator.
First of all, I want to salute Neil for being the first person on this cast to use the term culture. Second of all...
Yeah, Wing would have called it halter.
That's true. I'm going to give it a solid Legend of Its Time. And it is because... This is a legendary movie. It has a lot of the, you know, tropes that have been used since then that everybody's familiar with and stuff. But it screams 80s film. All the way from the moment it starts all the way through to the end. It screams 80s. And that's one of the reasons that I enjoy the film, because it takes you back to, you know, what they were doing in those days and what kind of films they made and stuff like that. So it is a product of its time, but it's a legendary movie. Therefore, it's a legend of its time.
I've dreaded that moment all week.
No, just quit being a fucking ping pong. We know you're a Frenchman. Have at ya.
Yeah, no, actually, I'm going to be bold. I'm going to go legendary for this one. This is the body cop movie. That's the only one that they did four of them, and they went out of the 80s and went into the 90s, and the style of the movies followed with it. I mean, Mel Gibson stopped smoking in the third one and started eating
dog biscuits.
Dog biscuit, yes. So, I mean, they evolve, but in the end, they were the top in body cop movies. That was the only franchise out there. And it was a franchise before everybody was talking about franchise. They made a lot of movies with this movie. They launched career with this movie. They solidified, as Neil said, the career of Mel Gibson. They solidified Donner even beyond where he was after the Superman and the Omen, I think, were his two big claim to fame before that. So it influence pop culture, and all these tropes come from there. So, and there's that big nostalgia thing that comes with it. So, yeah, I'm giving it legendary.
Well, I mean, realistically, all good points, because I may have said what I said, but you all have good points, and you could raise it one way or another. It's just where it all touched you. Show us on the doll where the movie touched you, Beef. But it is what it is. So, you're totally wrong, by the way, Wing. So, last word, fellas.
Give it.
I'm always wrong.
See, thank you, thank you. Last word, fellas, other than Wing is wrong.
Riggs.
Murdoch.
Hair.
The hot daughter. That's all hyphenated. This has been episode 248 of Legends Podcast Lethal Weapon. I'm Beef saying, call me on my new huge-ass cell phone, please.
I'm John Ding saying, hello?
I'm Neil saying, you're gonna bust Dixie.
Nice.
I'm the operator saying, would one sheep herder say the other sheep herder, let's get the flock out of here.
Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to gunnageek.com and you will find all of our contact information and other shows. You can also visit legendspodcast.com, where you will find our complete archive. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at incompetech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual host and do not represent Legend Stream Canada or Gunna Geek. No infringement is intended.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. I felt he throws by the thief door.